Here, this map is gonna be your guide to North Shore. Now, where you sit in the cafeteria is crucial because you got everybody there. You got your freshmen, ROTC guys, preps, JV jocks, Asian nerds, cool Asians, varsity jocks, unfriendly black hotties, girls who eat their feelings, girls who don't eat anything, desperate wannabes, burnouts, sexually active band geeks, the greatest people you will ever meet, and the worst. Beware of the plastic.
It is April 1989. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar plays his last NBA game. DC is the site of a march in support of Roe v. Wade, and the World Wide Web is first launched in the public domain. But you don't care about any of that, because you're no fool. All your friends gave you super good advice for where to take Patrick McCare for the first date that technically he asked for, because you were asking him to be your boyfriend, and he didn't quite pick up on how cool your going with me system worked on paper. You know, it's okay. He's not in honors, and that's okay. You actually have learned a lot about non-honors kids lately because you had to switch seats with April Coles, who I guess was trying to pretend she wasn't huffing Scotch Guard. So now she has to sit in the front and you have met the back row kids. They call you Ham real loud like that. They just go, Ham. And that's cool. It's cool to have a nickname. You know, they all wear black and they do their hair differently and they love to write on their books, their desks, their shoes. They're just constantly writing on everything everywhere. But you know what? You love writing. You love the written word. So you're just going to be fine here in the back row, where you asked Patrick McCare to go with you, and he said where. And now once the bell rings, you're going to drop the tuck folded note with the date location on his desk as you walk past cool as Ham. Yo, 1 year in on this magazine you've been reading, and you're already feeling more confident, casual, charismatic, and bandanaed. Oh, speaking of, there's a brand new issue. Let's flip straight past the bad hat on the cover and read the absolutely depressing latest news of teenage life. Yes, it's time to
listen to Sassy.
It is April 1989. What happened in your life in April 1889, Pam? It's the Yellowstone prequel to Pam's life.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm finally caught up on my own sassy timeline. So definitely, I have a birthday. I definitely turn 14, which means I have some sort of surprise birthday party where I've talked about earlier, where I'm dancing and singing the butt, and then the door opens up and everyone says surprise, and I've never really recovered. And then I immediately get into the National Junior Honor Society and then get into a car and drive away and move to Texas.
All in the same day?
All in the same week.
Okay. That's pretty quick. Happy birthday.
Yes.
So our spine line is be foolish for April Fools. Ha ha, cute. Dave, I mean, we can get into this more when we get to the fashion issue, but you're like, this doesn't look like a sassy cover. And you're right. It looks more like glamour to me.
Here's a woman wearing things. Nothing special about it.
Yeah. To me, this like the yellow and hot pink color scheme is very late 80s.
Her straw hat is ridiculous. This is not a hat.
You know, we've seen such worse hats. I can't really be mad at this hat.
I'm pretty sure Gil Grissom wears this hat on CSI when it's too sunny out. Gil Grissom has never made a good hat choice, and I think this is one of them.
Well, from the cheerful hat and colors discussion, let's head straight to our first feature. As usual, our first feature is depressing and also kind of, it's hard to track. It's called Andy is an Addict. Our author is Catherine, and she goes through a technique here, the way she moves through the story of Andy's life and her addiction by delivering snapshots at various points in her life. So I'm just going to read this. This is how the story opens. It's 9 years ago. There's this little girl named Andy who's eight. She's hanging out with her best friend Chad in a big field that's right next to her apartment building in Southern California. They're playing catch, and they get into a fight over some stupid thing. Andy throws the ball really far, so Chad will have to run to get it. He does. They are right near the railroad tracks, and Andy can see a train coming. Chad is starting to cross the tracks. She yells to him to come back, but he has to get the ball, and it's on the other side, so he runs over the tracks, but his foot gets caught. Andy sees the train coming closer and hears Chad screaming, but she goes numb. She can't believe what's happening. Closer and closer, the train comes, and then the screams stop. It's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Andy walks around in a daze for hours, but she doesn't tell anybody. She doesn't go get help. I wasn't sure how to handle it, she says. I mean, I thought I'd just wake up the next morning and go over to his house and he'd be there. When Andy gets home, her parents are out of town and her 16-year-old brother is having a party. This is the night she has her first beer. Very grabby opening for this story, I would say.
Yes.
It was the first draft of Luca. It does has a real 10,000 Maniacs. She yells to him to come back.
Yeah. 10,000 Maniacs.
But he
perfect.
Has to get the ball and it's on the other side. So he runs over the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
But his foot gets caught. So.
And you know what gets him? Peace train.
Anyway, this is a very sad story. We're meeting Andy after she's been through rehab after several arrests and stuff. It's the typical sort of one of these stories where it's like, oh, this is really sad. She's gone through some shit. But then there just seemed to be a lot of, I'm not going to say it's fake. I imagine it was fact checked, but
there's a lot of shades of it happened to me.
Yes. Yeah. The next little vignette we get is it's 7 years ago, Christmas Day, and it's basically her entire family gathers to tell her they don't want her to live with them anymore and disown her. And if it's 7 years ago, she's 10.
This is the thing. It's written like PSAs. Andy has a couple of six packs that morning and then goes with her father, stepmother, and brother to her grandparents' house. It's all like too many warnings in a row.
Yeah.
That I think that's why it starts to read like it happened to me, but it has a real... okay, I won't do drugs. Leave me alone, mom. Feeling.
Yes, it's too much. And factually, like, I just can't track what would really happen. Starting with, she's sent to live with her mother, whose care the state removed her from years earlier because of some other awful stuff. And it's like, why would that happen? Like,
no, the some other awful stuff is her friend dies because Andy is driving at like 95 miles an hour on a 10 mile an hour curb
drunk,
and then they're drunk, and so then they're like, so then she had to go live with her mom. I feel like we missed right. some stuff there.
Yeah. And the other funny, I mean, not funny, but you know, funny thing that comes out is like when Catherine is speaking to people at this home where Andy's living now, she came to the Jane Dickman Center. I remember how the people here told me that Andy was a typical patient. By typical, I thought they meant average, like your basic kid from the Midwest with a middle-class background, probably a divorce in the family. But I found out later that Andy's experience is typical. More than 80% of kids with alcohol or drug problems have also been sexually abused, and about 80% of children of alcoholics will either become alcoholics, marry one, or develop another type of addictive behavior, like anorexia. Yeah, like, of course, that's a typical person who's in rehab as a teenager. Like, this could have been cut. You can leave out the part where, like, what you thought typical meant, because it makes you look dumb, especially if you've been writing for Sassy for a year and only covering stories like this. But we don't have to dwell on this. It's a bummer. It's a real bummer of a story.
Mm-hmm. The Jane Dickman Center, which is the halfway house that Andy's in, is now a nursing home. She describes this halfway house like this little beautiful little place by the lake. There's something about all of this that does seem like, yes, there's a Eagles will write a song about you quality to Andy's life here. If Andy is an addict and this is how songs get written about you and you become like a Warhol famous girl who is famous because someone else decided to sing your story. And maybe that's part of it too. I feel like the stats, or maybe to unromanticize the situation, but it still comes across like Andy's not going to make it. And we all know it.
Yeah.
But this is her. Sorry. That's what they do
I agree.
This is how we do it. This is how we do it. And then we're going to go right into, are you ready?
Clicks.
Turn the page. Clicks. And this month, we're going to talk about different cliques. We got jocks, we got brains, we got cools, we got metalheads, we got internationals, and we got the preppies. Mm-hmm. So pick your lunch table, y'all. We're going on a ride.
Why is one defined geographically and the other are all attributes of their personalities? Like, why can't the girl from Pakistan be a metalhead? No reason why.
that do make it seem like everybody that's, quote, internationals just got here. So yeah, there are these group shots on the side in pink. It says the name of the clique that they're in, and then they're all gathered together, described by what it is that they do in that clique. You know, if they're jocks, it's what sport they play, and if they're brains, what part of the class they are in, and the cools are what car they drive, the metalheads are their favorite band, and the internationals are where they're from, and the preppies are the labels they're wearing. And then there's little quotes from each of them. And I don't even know that these people all get along. And so, like, I get the sense the jocks have met each other for the first time in this photo.
Uh-huh.
Same with them, but not the brains. They're all they have. Like, the cools always in a fight. The metalheads definitely BFFs, and the internationals are pissed that they have to do yet another photo together.
Yep.
And the preppies are dicks. They really look like major dicks. But I'm getting ahead of it. This is by Laura Norton. We will take it click by click.
They sent her to a high school in Yonkers, although it's hard to read it because they've put this light lavender text of the subhead over the sepia, you know, stipply floor on the underneath the brains.
I didn't even notice that.
You exactly. You really have to squint to read it.
I still can't read it.
I'll read it. We sent Laura Norton to Roosevelt High, this public school in Yonkers, New York, that has about 1,200 students, and
six big time clicks.
I couldn't figure out what was before big. She hung out all day with kids from each group and got them to talk about themselves and each other. And boy, did they talk. Wow, that really is hard to read. That is not a joke.
So we start with the jocks. We've got football, cheerleading, wrestling, softball, football, and cheerleading. Mm-hmm. Yonkers doesn't have that much of a sports scene, I guess.
There's two cheerleaders. Obviously, they have the teen cheerleader team and have the 30-plus cheerleader team, which are what we have here.
It was a different time.
Janice in the corner says, "Hooray, team! go be a darling. Get me my smokes."
I don't know which one you think looks older. They both look old to me, frankly.
Yeah, everybody looks too old for school.
Mm-hmm.
Softballer Tina is in like her jersey and her tight jeans that are rolled with her socks and her filthy tennis shoes and her teased up hair. And Tina is going to fuck you up when this is over. Tina looks like your tough babysitter that you're in love with. Or maybe it's just me. Mm. There's a really cute cheerleader, I guess, right next to her. But it's all Tina in this photo. Look at her.
Ray says other people who aren't jocks are just lazy. And in my case, he is right. I am lazy. That's why I'm not a jock. That's why this article came out. I was almost straight off of nearly failing gym in grade 8.
Ray also says, you feel intimidated sometimes when brains are in class and they're all like, pi equals x times this and the square root of that is this. That's what Ray thinks you sound like.
Yeah,
I know.
With their bits and their bites and their combobulators with the plugs.
I'll work on my buttons to figure this out with my machine.
Take your Commodores and get out of here.
Wrestling's a simple sport.
We were dubious about the It Happened to Me that was about the girl who joined cheerleading and they were all bitches. But then here we have Grace saying, when you think of a cheerleader, you think right away, oh, she's stuck up. But other girls just say that because they want to be like you and they can't.
Mm-hmm. And we have the brains. Tara, do you want to take it?
I related to some of this. Mm-hmm. So I guess I know which tribe I'm in of all of these. I mean, the first one they quote, she also says other students who can't achieve like we do are just lazy. But there's a lot of talk about like, I study a lot. I stay up really late reading. And all of this was like, yeah, not in high school, but when I was in college trying to get through because I was a stupid literature and comp lit major. And that is a terrible combination because that means you spend every single weekend doing 1,200 pages of reading for the week of like all of the novels that you're going to be talking about and every other piece of bullshit. So, I mean, I wasn't this bad in high school, but I definitely got this bad of like staying up till 5, finishing papers and so on. Cough. I was not a cool.
You, like Julie, are queen of the all-nighters. On my birthday, I didn't even get dressed. I spent the entire day in bed studying because I had a huge test the next day.
Yeah.
In the photo, all of them except for John brackets Oliver on the left are facing one way and he's facing the other way. And all I know is there's a very considered internal monologue with John, how close he should be to Barbara and make sure that there's no boob contact.
Yeah.
You know how you can tell? The hand sticking out of his butt. He's so worried about accidentally touching her that he's sprouting three fingers out of his butt. And in his other hand is
a typewriter. A typewriter, and the ribbon is fallen to the floor and rolled over to Caroline at the end.
Oh, I see it now.
He needs one of those shiny Smith Corona word processors.
That's right. Get with the times, John.
There's some houndstooth in this and a considerable amount of acid washed and hairspray.
Yes.
And you can tell all of them have braces, even if you can't see them. They may just have bars behind their teeth. But there's a lot of flashing teeth in here. Like you can just, the spit hangs around the mouths of the people in these this click photo.
Yeah. We should also say the 80s are really hanging on in Yonkers because in all of these shots, the hair on the girls especially is, it's so tall. It's so tall.
The Cools has a cameo from Adam Driver in House of Gucci. It's crazy. The more you look at it, the more it becomes Adam Driver. And it looks like Adam Driver's going to start talking to you in the Cools picture somehow that like they're not done advertising for your consideration. House of Gucci shit. He's just going to punch you through your PDF.
I feel like they should not be like Cools does not feel like the right name for their clique if the thing is about their cars. Like they should be gearheads or whatever. Like, I mean, Cools seems very presumptuous. Like we're going to call ourselves the Cools.
Yeah. They're the greasers.
Yeah. Yes. Well, greasers. Yeah.
At this school, they're called the Cools and they say it's like a real cool. It's a cool town. They are the queen bees, right?
Yes.
Tough these people. I'm scared of all of them.
They do look tough.
The one on the floor in the boots. Oh my God. Pam, kill someone.
These are the teens that if they're hanging out on the corner, you walk four blocks out of your way so you don't have to pass them because they're scary.
She's got a necklace over her ankle boots. Like I've never seen anything so cool. Her jewelry, she's not worried about getting her own foot caught in her jewelry by herself.
Yeah.
And she's got, they're pulled up over her acid wash tight jeans and her hair is its own zip code and her earrings are huge.
There's lions jumping through them.
It says, Louis or Louis, who knows, says, when you're classified as a cool, it means you dress good. You got the hairspray. You're into cars. I don't mind it really. Everyone's classified as something, whether you like it or not. Ooh. They say it just means, even they are like, I don't know. Like what? So then they ask Carol. And Carol says, people misunderstand me when I go out with my friends, like to a nightclub. I might look like I'm easy or something going up to a bunch of guys and talking to them. No, seriously. But when people come up and they talk to me, they're like, you're totally different than what we thought. Wait, I changed my mind. I love the Cools. I just hadn't said their words out loud. Lewis is back in. And he says, yeah, we go to clubs every Friday and Saturday night. There's this huge strip that runs about a mile that has stores on either side. There's usually a couple hundred kids hanging out and everybody's cruising up and down with their cars. And Chrissy's like, yeah, the teachers don't even think we have an attitude, but they think that we can just like get away with more. What? Did I read that wrong?
That guy's name is definitely not Lewis. It is definitely Louis.
Yeah, that's Louis. And then the teachers don't think we have an attitude, but they think that we think we can get away with more. Chrissy.
I love this accent.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been to Yonkers. Is that close enough?
It's perfect if you ask me. I don't know what it is, but I want more. I want more.
I watched House of Gucci with my hands on my chin going, how is this? But standing around with cars is not a personality. So I'm not surprised that every single one of them was like, it's really hard to classify us, but we're just cool.
Furthermore, when you look at their little blurbs, it just says Laura loves the Nissan 300ZX. And then there's like a car for each of them. So this is just a car they like. It's not even a car they have. They might not even be standing around their own cars.
And I like how everybody else is like, Jaguar, Lamborghini. She's like, I'll take this Nissan.
Someone else's Chrysler LeBaron convertible. Like, good Lord.
Well, you know, there's what I wish for in a perfect world and what I wish for that I feel like I can obtain someday. Sure. And the Nissan 300ZX is definitely the latter, if she can fit her hair in it.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to metalheads. Tom Slayer, Nicole Iron Maiden, Bill Suicidal Tendencies, Cindy Metallica, Lori Ludachrist, and Mike Kiss. want you to know, hey man, what are you into? Like, we're just cool. We're just standing around. We're like music and playing instruments, and we're into art and wearing our stuff. And like, yeah, man, we're like awesome people with a good sense of humor.
I think the guy that's into Kiss should be happy that he got included into the Metalheads. Kiss and metal, I don't really think there's a lot of agreement there with people that are into metal and Kiss being part of that group.
Yeah, that's why they made him hold those drumsticks.
Mm-hmm. He looks nervous, like, I don't know if I should be here.
They're going to bounce me out any second when they learn about my Billy Joel albums.
It's just kind of glam rock, and I need to save money to buy a casket for when they kill me. Kiss casket, callback.
The Kisket.
Kisket.
Tom, who's punching metal rings up in the corner, who is all of 4'11", I think, yes. Says, we're better than the other students. We're ourselves. We're not posers. And he's punching right over poser Kiss guy. He's like, oh, shit. So I think he must have said that. And then they took this picture. And this is the moment when Mike has regrets.
Yep.
These girls rock. These girls are awesome. One of them is in Poison and the other two are awesome. The girl with the long legs and the boots holding a guitar like it's a cello. I want to know what happened to her. She looks great. Okay, so then we'll do the internationals. They make the Polish kid look like he doesn't know how to use a map, and that makes me mad.
They really do look like they're sick of posing together for like pamphlets and shit.
Yeah.
Especially this guy on the floor.
I heard that guy, though, he tried to send a rocket to the sun.
Dave. That was his dad.
And then we have the preppies.
Oh, that's it? That's it for the internationals?
Well, I don't know. I feel
there
like
they're
just nice people who were like, I work hard and I'm here and I'm going to school here. And everybody.
Welcome to this country forever. End of story.
That's kind of. Yes.
Yeah. Is it getting warm in here? Must be this melting pot. If you want to be a preppy, you have to be exactly the same height as all the other preppies. Or you can't get in.
And you're wearing the same thing. They're all kind of wearing the same thing. They look like little catalog people. And they're very excited about being catalog people. But all of their copy is about them being like, it's not like I want to be a cool. It's not like I want to be a metalhead. It's not like I want to be this. And then, which makes it seem like all they really care about is, oh, wait, I just figured it out. So you're so preppy. Wear these clothes so that is an identity.
Yeah.
I don't mean to sound this stupid. I'm genuinely having this epiphany. So because they're not really sure who they are yet, they wear the clothes that say you come from a level of success to where your future is determined. Mm-hmm. Just go around doing fuck all. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, originally preppies were like people from prep schools. Obviously, these people at a public high school in Yonkers are not that. But yes, it's mostly going to be based on the fashion and the attitude that comes with it, as we've seen in every single teenage movie where the preppies are villains, and rightly so.
Yeah, it's why preppies is like this, or it's like nautical, or it's tennis. It's always something along those lines as far as dress goes. And
I didn't know it was prep school. I thought they were just prepared.
No, well, that's what it's short for. Prep schools is short for preparatory school.
Yeah,
you're preparing you for college.
But because we weren't at a prep school, I just thought a preppy was someone who like prepared, like we're over prepped.
No, yuppies went to yuppiorial school.
I thought they spent too much time prepping in the mirror.
Oh,
not to confuse with yuppies, which is the guys that just drink yogurt.
Well, we all learned something, I think.
Yeah. Our third and final feature, that's right, no fiction story, I guess John Elder took Christmas off, is Spring Break, parentheses, or Where the Jerks Are by Christina, who went to Daytona Beach with Jane to report this story, presumably last year before the magazine launched. And I have to say, volunteering to go to Daytona Beach for spring break past the age of 19 is unfathomable to me, barely fathomable under age 19, honestly. And literally no part of this whole article indicates what made Christina want to do it now or ever, other than a few references to meeting babes. Like, she just hates everything about it.
Well, this part I identify with. She says, this major deprivation of my teenage years had really scarred me for life, and I became obsessed with spring break. And I also never got to go anywhere for spring break until sometime in college. And I never went I never beached out. I wasn't near a beach enough, but also I lived in a spring breaky town for a couple of years, including in a hotel room, and that will scar you. But anyway, this feeling of I want to be paid to do it, like I'm a Drew Barrymore movie. I think I might have also said, Jane, let's go to Daytona. Let's go find out what it's all about now that we're grownups. Mm-hmm. We'll be the oldest babes. Everyone will love us.
Yeah.
And I think that's what she went in thinking. Like, we're going to be the stars here. And they are not.
No, they're not. I mean, my favorite thing is like the first thing we did when they landed was decide we didn't want to do anything and went back to our hotel room to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go, oh, it's bright. Oh, it's bright. Yes. Why is it so bright? Oh my gosh. Are they driving on the sand? They're on the sand in their cars.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Are they getting drunk and showing their nakedness? Let's go inside. Now we're staying at a comfort inn for the comfort.
All right. So there's a lot of touchstones of 90s culture in this article, though, incidentally, around all the I hate this so much. Singing Madonna in a recording booth that is blasting you on a PA on the boardwalk. That is, sorry, I said 90s. 80s teen culture probably bled into the 90s, too, I'm sure. I really hope the shot on the first page of this article of Jane and Christina with a gigantic Spuds McKenzie has pride of place in both their homes. And honestly, I'm a little mad that it's cropped so we don't see the top of Spuds' face.
They really didn't just get clearance.
His nose and his tongue. It's not enough. Come on. They also bring up the rumors of Christina vaguely remembers hearing that Spuds McKenzie died while duct taped to a surfboard shooting an ad. Apparently not true. That was an urban legend at the time. We'll link it in the show notes.
Wipeout.
It was debunked. Spuds died in 1993 of kidney failure and was a girl. Gender is dead. Goodbye, Spuds. We miss you. The place they keep going back to is called Penrod's, which I guess is like a hotel with
Isn't that the medication you hoarded for so long?
That was the Vernox. Oh.
It does sound like, I thought it was a drink. Like, I'll have a Penrod's and fizz, please.
That's per no.
It sounds like it's to be like Pim's cup or something like that. Yes. Like a Penrod. Penrod's chalice, if you will.
Chad, you're being a real Penrod.
You can still, as there,
or
as
it's
Pam,
a really old, like medieval name for a writing instrument. Hand me my Penrod today.
Never gonna let Tara
reduced
get
to just out. Pen.
University of Penrod.
Or perhaps it is the old name for a penis. It is reduced to rod.
Yes.
My penis rod, Penrod rod.
She rode my Penrod.
Yeah,
for like
all night.
20
long.
Minutes.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
All right.
It was founded by Jack Penrod. As of 2017, he was still alive and still in hospitality, but this location seems to be closed.
Jack and his Penrod.
Yeah.
As Pam noted earlier, Christina is also scandalized that people are driving cars on the beach. You can still do that because, of course, you can. It's Florida.
How many cars do you think get caught in tide? They just like forget and then tide comes and it's like, oh, my car is half in water.
It has to be more than 10 a year.
Yeah, because this is like near the end of the article for some reason. But they dropped the fact that the influx of students is 300,000 back in the day.
Yeah.
Like 300,000 people suddenly are in your town and all this shit is happening. I was just like, as soon as I heard that, I thought, what is the mental cost to everybody that needs this ecosystem to exist?
Yeah.
Right. It's like they hate it. Why wouldn't you hate it?
Yeah.
But they need it because this is like, it's Christmas to them, right? It's like the 2 weeks or the week or however long it
this is when they make their year.
They make their year.
Yeah.
I would go insane. I don't think this article is critical enough or they didn't do their detective work enough. Like, it doesn't seem as terrible as I know in my heart it is.
Right.
And when you have 300,000 of these chuckle fucks running around, just the nonstop misery, like barf party times 1,000.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying I want them to report the dark side of Daytona Beach, but
no, I don't mean like sexual assault or anything like that. I just mean like the level of teen immortality syndrome and the lack of empathy for people this age, and just, I'm here, I'm going to party, nothing else matters. So, you know, if I have to take a shit in your sidewalk, I will. All that kind of stuff, I feel like, is a level of misery that is not in here that you know is happening 24/7.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, as I was saying, I didn't realize that I was living in such a party town until just now. I was like, oh, well, maybe it's just me that remembers this. Because when 300,000 people are in Daytona, Palm Springs spring break during the years I lived in a Palm Springs spring break hotel was when it like got shut down because it got too much. Harmless water toys were replaced with large water coolers that revelers dumped into cars held up in the traffic jam. I mean, you can't understand, like, it really shut down the city. Men jumped into truck beds and ripped off women's tops. They threw rocks. One of the few police officers on the scene was briefly knocked out by a beer bottle blow to the head. Law enforcement demanded that partiers disperse or prepare for arrest. They took approximately 120 people into custody. They eventually like outlawed G-strings, stepping off the curb could get you a ticket. So they issued 4,500 tickets in 1987. And then I think maybe Palm Springs stopped being the place where you went to like lose your mind. But I remember we were not allowed to leave our hotel room when we lived in the hotel for Palm Springs. Did I already say this?
No.
We had to stay inside and you could hear them. They would do naked midnight howl. They would all come out on the balconies, take off all their clothes. And then in the morning, all of the furniture, the lawn furniture was in the pool. And one time a kid died. So it was just like...
Sorry, what was a midnight howl?
They would go... No, you're trying to get me to howl for your
buddy. No. I thought of... But what happens at midnight? No, I'm not trying to trick you. I think I just missed something. Like, is it sort of like the equivalent of let's all clap for the healthcare workers for 1 month and then like get back to it?
Yeah, but they would take off all their clothes. I think it was like a Mardi Gras feeling. They'd all just shout at each other and be very, very naked. And then one kid was climbing from one balcony to the next and he fell.
I have a follow-up question while we're here. As you know, I'm not shy about asking very stupid questions, but here we go. Why is a G-string called a G-string? Why is it G?
I don't actually know.
Is it the shape it makes somehow? If you like drop it on the ground, it's like, oh yeah, I guess it's kind of like a G. That doesn't make sense to me. Why is it a G string? Was it made by that chocolatier?
I'm looking it up.
It was like the nth iteration. Like they had A, B, C, D, and it kept on failing and snapping and exploding on people's bodies. And finally, with the G iteration, they nailed it.
Rudy Gernreich famously invented the thong swimsuit in the 70s.
Disappointing.
Christina's conclusion is this was all dumb. It's only for people who like to drink and have a good time like idiots, which like to greater and less degrees, like that's just it's socializing. But she would rather stay home, drink diet hot chocolate and watch I Love Lucy. Like that was her deprived version of spring break when she was a kid and didn't get to go. And now it sounds pretty good. And that is called being in your 20s. A lot going on this month. We have a beautiful shot of a girl in a polka dot sashed, looks like a prom dress because she wants to, and she's looking over her shoulder because it's about back acne, which of all of the many skin problems I had, this was not one, not to brag. The advice they give you is, in part, to use the Neutrogena acne mask 1 to 3 times a week on your back. The Neutrogena Acne Mask was sold at the time in like a 2-ounce tube. It was this big. Like you could use it maybe 3 times on your face and you would use it up. Those tubes were so small. Like it would cover half your back, one of those things. You would be going through a lot of these is my point. This seems like very expensive advice. And then I would also like to know how after you do that, you've rinsed everything off, then you put astringent pads all over your back? You're taking up a lot of your mother's time with this back knee regimen. Because you can't do that yourself. You have to ask someone else.
It sounds like you need a slumber party. Can we get together and have a Bacchae night?
1 to 3 times a week? Sure.
Let's be best friends of both. According to the Cancer Research Foundation of America, Washington, D.C. has the highest cancer rate, while residents of Alaska are the most cancer-free.
Moving on.
That's all it says in all caps, like Pam at a party.
I think it has something to do with the lack of polar bears down south, is what I'm inferring from that. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Think about it.
So then there's, it turns out, a new way to treat dyslexia, which is to recommend ordinary motion sickness pills like Dramamine, which was something I'd never heard of before. And apparently the reason is that they think dyslexia may be caused by an issue with the inner ear, which is the same thing that your Dramamine motion sickness drugs treats. I'd never heard of this before. Apparently it was still in use as of 2 years ago. Then I stopped caring about dyslexia because when I looked up the article to confirm that this was still a treatment that occurs, I discovered Diane Taylor of Living Las Vegas, a website which the subtitle is Real Life in the Shadow of the Strip. She is my hero. We're going to link to her in the show. Oh, you better fucking believe we're linking to her bio in the show notes. Diane Taylor has been Chicago corporate communicator most of her life after moving to Las Vegas with her late husband, Paul. We miss him. She began a freelance career writing for her former employer and a trade show publication. Later, she wrote for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Now is a weekly column at this publication. Diane often thinks about a diet and occasionally is on one. Her writing interests include the Las Vegas convention scene, true stories with a humorous angle, and the many interesting people in the Las Vegas Valley. Diane also serves as Secretary of Writers of Southern Nevada, which sponsors and produces the popular Painted Stories events as well as discussion groups interested in writing. Diane is a sexy senior. She's definitely in her 70s at least. If not, she looks like it because she lives in Las Vegas. She spends a lot of time in the harsh, harsh sun. She just looks like the lady that you would meet and be like, that was a character. And I love Diane Taylor. Diane Taylor, I hope you hear this because I love you.
Her blog is like blogs, like why you read blogs. It's, here it is. Did you see yes. Did you see her newest one? Hey, I just had a birthday. It's 80s, the new 60. I just turned 60. Again, here she is. Why is 60 so nice? Because of the gratitude. We weren't very grateful people at 20, but now we read the news and find reports of a few contemporaries we loved who have died. We're still here with a number of good friends, so we are grateful for every day. She has a gentleman friend mm-hmm. that she calls him her gentleman friend.
Yep.
She said, for my birthday, I'm proud to say I got laid. Or did I misspell that? Oh, yes, I was laid.
Oh.
My gentleman friend's daughter ordered and picked up at the airport a real Hawaiian lei.
.. Beautiful.
There's also a story just about a friend of hers. Doesn't own a business or anything. It's just about Sheila Cooper talks cookies. And it's just her friend who makes good cookies. Yeah. I just want to read the comments at the bottom of them because these are very typical about, there's something about recipe and Amazon feedback questions that share a lot in common. One of which is somebody will ask a question on Amazon like, does this dongle work with X machine and then Y machine? And somebody will answer, I don't know. I don't have either one of those machines. Why are you taking the time to do that? And these comments kind of reminded me of this. The first one from Patrick McHugh. I love lemon cookies, but I'm not a baker or cook, but I like the article. She won't make the cookies, but she likes lemon cookies. Thanks for the article.
This Perfect. Is still about body talk because here she is. Talking about being 80 is the new 60. Another plus of 60 for me is that I am now on time. I wasn't always on time. Friends do not make comments on this point. But now you see I'm retired and I'm smart enough to know it takes time to be on time. No more do I just grab a nearby blouse and head out the door at the last minute. Today I have a routine to make sure my ravishing self looks 60. First, I blow my nose several times. Then, which is my mom doesn't do it first. She just does it throughout the day. She should try it all at once at the beginning. That's what I'm going to tell my mom, this tip, hot tip for the senior set. Then floss and brush my teeth, wait for the shower to heat up, shower and cleanse, that's in quotes, my face. Then I dry off everything, moisturize the extremities, and zip open the cosmetic case that keeps the mess off the makeup counter. I apply the retinol stuff and then brush on the foundation. The cheek blush is next, followed by lipstick. If I have heated up the curling iron, I finally curl and comb my few strands of hair. Next, I lean against something to steady myself when putting on short and long pants. The bra snaps shut. Then I reach down and lift you-know-whats into the bra cup. Blouse is next. Semicolon, choose a flattering color. Find the earrings and necklace to match, then retrieve the long shoehorn and the shoes. Make a last-minute bathroom stop. Done. At best, it's a half-hour routine, and if I run into a problem, such as an empty Kleenex box or an unheated curling iron, we add 10 minutes. And if I want to get in a car without a heart beating rapidly, I add another 15 minutes just to relax. So I start early, and I'm finally on time, except for the occasions when I oversleep because of a morning nap, but that's another story. Listen. Can she be our next podcast?
I really, really love her. I also, I'm not going to read it on the air, but I am definitely going to read her report from CES because definitely who I want at the Consumer Electronics Show is an 80-year-old woman telling me all about the interesting new product.
She also went to New York for, I mean, I spent some time. She also went to New York for Christmas. Guess what? People had masks on.
Yeah.
She had a lot to say about that.
I love her.
I can't wait to make stickers for her. Okay. So Body Talk then says, ear piercing can cause allergic contact dermatitis if the earrings contain nickel, such as gold-plated earrings. So to avoid this, ask for earrings made of solid gold or plastic. Or, fun tip, put some clear nail polish on your nickel stuff and you'll be okay for a little while. You got to do it over and over again. But like on the back of your jeans where your little nickel thing is, don't stop living in jeans. You don't let the clothes win.
Sticker.
Help. Kim is a 17-year-old Black girl who has noticeable scars on her legs. She'd like to know if there's a quick, inexpensive way to remove scars permanently. I only highlighted because I thought it was nice. They didn't start with like, no, love your scars. Like, you're you and everything's precious. They're just like, girl, here's what you should do. Mm-hmm. Here are five things you can try.
Yeah.
We hate it. Yeah. Nobody wants a scar. I just thought that was nice. Sometimes we're just like, just give me the advice.
Yeah. I agree.
Don't let the scars win.
About 2 weeks ago, I had sex. Brag. We used Vaseline as a lubricant. And now my vagina is all itchy and covered in a white film, in air quotes. I don't know what's wrong. Could the Vaseline have caused this? And basically, they're like, don't use Vaseline as a lubricant. It's also bad for condoms. But I would like to know.
Well, right. Don't use pie filling or anything like that. You know?
Well, Vaseline is so thick. Like, I am struggling to comprehend how a penis even, like, broke through a barrier.
What?
Vaseline. What? Vaseline is thick. It's thick.
Do you think they put it in like a big plug? Like they filled up her canal with Vaseline and then she said, have at it, guy. And he's like, I can't. It's too much Vaseline in here.
Okay.
They put it on him. Definitely.
We got to call in the Dam Busters.
Okay. I still don't really get it. I feel like that would just stop it.
Maybe they just put it on his dick.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Either way, it's like, it's going to be, there's too much drag. Like, it's too much. It's not going to go.
They're having sex in the wind tunnel.
Please, I'm begging you, don't call in and tell us your stories of having sex with Vaseline. I still feel like you would just get stuck.
It's not rubber cement, Tara. I think you, maybe Vaseline, you're thinking of something else.
Yeah, what do you use as Vaseline?
What do you think Vaseline is?
Maybe it's been a long time since I've seen Vaseline. I remember it being...
I mean, it's thicker than you would want from a lubricant.
It is.
To cock her bath, she uses Vaseline.
You can't make snowballs out of it, but you can fling it at people. That is what Vaseline is. That's what we're, that's, if you want to describe Vaseline insofar as its viscosity, I feel like that's a good descriptor of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, Tara. But
yes, certainly.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be my first choice, and it shouldn't be your first choice.
No. What he said. Would you ever go out with your best friend's girlfriend? 22% said yes, 78% no. Ex-girlfriend? Oh, that's different. 75% said yes, 25% said no.
Total flip.
Which is reasonable to me. Brian thinks someone who would go out with their best friend's girlfriend is a jerk and is out of line. He likes to skateboard and draw, and he is cute. That's all I have to say about Brian, 15. But our celebrities this month are DJ Jazzy Jeff, at the time 20, and Fresh Prince, 21. This is pre the show. I just want to read the differences between their responses. I wouldn't date Prince's girlfriend because it would be a strain on our relationship, says DJ Jazzy Jeff. And does Prince hold the same kind of loyalty? Well, if I really liked her, I would go out with her. But only after I talked it over with Jeff. I bet you would skip part of
it. Talked it over is not asking for permission.
No, it's not.
It's just being like, oh, you know what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks? Yes. And the next 2 or 3 days.
Reading this, knowing that what we learned from his recent memoir, which is that he like had a problem with sex and that he had it all the time and like was to a degree where he was hurting himself. This is interesting as an origin story. Good luck to both of these men.
Oh, let's get to stuff you wrote, the best part of the podcast.
That was a very softer side of Sears' introduction.
This stuff you wrote is a little all over the place in terms of darts thrown at. Like, not everybody was playing darts.
Yeah.
But they were throwing them.
Sometimes you get a stuff you wrote and it's like 2/3 of a page. And you're like, this is a full, full page of stuff you wrote. And boy, it is stuff you wrote. Jennifer Catherine writes a poem called The Cynic. I can see in the way you hate the world that you do so because of a simple disgust that you have for anger and hatred. What? A disgust for anger? I don't understand.
Think about it. Think
about seems it. Very redundant to me. Anyway, it goes on. She's pro-love.
Oh, you're not going to read that?
Oh, come I have on. To read the whole thing?
Yes.
The cynic. I can see in the way you hate the world that you do so because of a simple disgust that you have for anger and hatred and senseless brutality. And I see the same hatred in me for the same reasons. But we cannot fight fire with fire and expect things to change for the better. So instead, since we cannot love the world, let's love each other and set an example for the world to see and from which everyone can learn to love. Jennifer Catherine, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania.
Sent to the boy next to her in detention. Regina DeLorenzo from Cambridge, Massachusetts writes, an understandable oxymoron. Tears, blue drops of icy warmth. Mic drop. And I don't want to dox anyone, but I believe that's now Dr. DeLorenzo to you. She is a vet. I'm clapping for you. Way to go. Working with puppies and kittens and living her life.
Hope she doesn't have to deal with too many people's birds because bird people are wrong.
Well, she has to deal with a lot of tears because there's nobody at a vet who's not crying icy warmth at some point. So that's what she's done to herself. Sometimes we write our own futures. Mm-hmm. Joanne S. of Forest Hill, Maryland asks, did you know? No, she's not asking. It's a question. Here, it's a question statement. Here's a question statement. Fun fact.
There's a word for that, actually. We'll tell you later.
Oh, man. Joanne, don't help me. Listen,
yeah,
I'm taking the bona fide again because I feel like I found out I wasn't taking it via talking to you.
Do you think it's working for you, Pam?
I don't.
That's a rhetorical question.
I don't think this question is rhetorical. I think she wants you to make a sound at the end of it.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that in 1 hour of MTV, there are 12 commercials, 10 music videos, 1 3-minute long music news story, and 13 MTV advertisements.
What's the sound?
Huh. But you know what I love? This was such a thing where Joanne was like,
I want to do it. I told myself I would do it. I told myself I would send something into stuff you wrote. All of us promised, and everybody's sending their things in. This is so stupid. I can't believe it. Well, here's something. This is what I know. And she just wrote it all down, turned it. This is also her science fair project. I say this as someone who did a science fair project on skateboards. Do they go more slowly on grass or sand? Yo, I have video of me doing it.
Jennifer Sloan of Reno, Nevada writes, okay, since it's 1989 and we write apostrophe 89 for short, when it turns 2000, are we going to write apostrophe 00? Yes.
Yep.
You nailed it. Great job, Jen.
If you went back in time and stepped on a butterfly, do you think it would affect the future? First of all, don't crib other people's work. Mm-hmm. Pam in care. I don't know what the hell that is. Signed Pam hyphen N hyphen care. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
She's from Big New York. All I can say is I searched all over Bing and I couldn't find her.
Pam and care are two best friends.
Yeah.
Who stole an idea together.
Yep.
And when they were like, if we're doing it, we're doing it together.
That's right.
That's how they do it in Bing.
Kelly Smith of Middleport, Ohio writes, there is a theory which states that if ever anyone discovers exactly what the universe is for and why it is here, it will instantly disappear and be replaced by something even more bizarre and inexplicable. There is another theory which states that this has already happened! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Oh, Kelly, if you are still around, you will know this has already happened and we are living in the stupidest timeline.
This is Kelly's cry for help, though. She is asking for someone to go, did you take drugs?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And then I was thinking some questions and then someone else told me that there's more than one kind of universe. I don't want to take the drugs anymore.
My name is Heather Kimes. I'm from Oswego, Illinois. He was dressed in his best rags. The soles of his shoes were missing. Holding his head high with the last of his pride and dignity, he entered the chapel.
Dolly and Kendall from Calgary, Alberta, Canada write, why didn't you guys acknowledge my really funny Bing search joke? You just wrote it.
I'm sorry.
That's what they wrote?
Yeah, that's what they said. It's some time travel thing. No, they
it's
actually
amazing.
Wrote.
It's amazing. We are in Kelly's other timeline.
If they expect us to expect the unexpected, doesn't the unexpected become the expected? It took two people to write that.
It's that everybody's dared each other to go to stuff you wrote this month. They're like, I'll do it if you do it. Let's do it together. Ah, I hit it. I put it in the mailbox.
Dave from Thorold, Ontario writes, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? But the last wood would be like the question, wood?
That's right.
We've had a lot of fun today, so it's time to close up with Naomi Fulton's submission. She comes to us from Chicago, Illinois.
End the way we started.
Untitled. The clock ticks as minutes pass and my friends and I sit together in mass. Our hearts beat quickly. A scream is heard, but no one moves. No one is disturbed. You may wonder why we show no care, but even though we do, our feelings we must not share. Bit of a reach. Our wounds are deep, our minds are shallow, because we are told in the dirt we should wallow. We are cold. Our barracks are damp. Oh, Naomi. We are the Jews of the concentration camp.
Wow.
I don't.
And then Naomi walks back to her desk.
I don't know about this one, girl.
Oh, Naomi.
She needed a care or a Kendall to be like, let's just send in something stupid about
our minds are shallow. Shallow?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no. I was, when I first read that, I'm like, where are we going here? No.
Really into it. No.
This 14-year-old's giving me a lot to think about.
Next time, we'll be talking about the pop culture topics of the April 1989 issue. Full sentences like, they might be giants and Earth Girls Are Easy get reviewed. Peter DeLuise gets profiled. Apparently everyone is sick of getting clowned by Dave in the future because there just isn't a one to watch at all.
Is that Dave? Hey, I have a real plug. You guys, my year of dicks got into South by Southwest.
Woo! Yay!
And we're having the world premiere of our pilot episode. In the show notes, you can find out if you're in Austin and you have a badge, come say hi. If you're going to be online and watch it virtually, you can also do that for the time that South by is happening, March 11th to 17th.
You should explain what it is briefly.
What? South by Southwest?
No, not South by Southwest. Okay. No, Austin. Explain what Austin is.
I'm so confused.
Explain what
your
show
project, is. Pam?
Belicup. My Year of Dicks is an adaptation of my memoir, Notes to Boys and Other Things I Shouldn't Share in Public. It's about the year I really, really tried super hard to lose my virginity in Katy, Texas. We'll get there eventually in in Sassy Land. But for now, you can sneak peek it. And it will be on FX and Hulu starting this summer, I believe.
You can follow me at Instagram, at David T. Cole. You can follow Tara on Twitter and Instagram, at Tara Ariano. You can follow Pam on Twitter, at Pamela Ribbon. And Year of Dicks also has its own social.
Year of Dicks, Twitter, website, all of it.
You can follow this show at Listen to Sassy, of course. And I just want to say, stay tuned for a real bombshell of an after show. Because it's coming, and you're going to be blown away.
So I'll
from
keep this
brief.
From
the author of Year of Dicks comes this episode's after show.
Oh, no. Look, just go to listentosassy.com. Hurry up. We're going to have a quiz for our next Slumber Party episode. You can take it on that site.
Call there isn't. Read what I actually wrote. There isn't a quiz in the April 1989 issue.
Maybe this we'll do a quiz. Maybe we'll make up a quiz and pretend it's from Sassy.
That's a good idea.
There we go.
Transponder. We still have a Slumber Party episode for you in a few weeks, so make sure you call us at 720-SASSY-GO and leave us a voicemail. We love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
I feel sorry for you guys with your coffee. It sounds like
why we're great,
real pain.
Yeah,
we're doing fine.
Yeah,
we're fine. It's I haven't had coffee in 2 hours, and I know that because I stopped at 3 o'clock. But today I went a little late, and I have a little bit left here, but I'm not gonna.
She's drinking her water. Look at her drink her water.
Brave. Drinking my water Brave. Halfway through this.
Like a big baby. Hold it up again. It looks like a baby mom.
It makes your hands look so small.
This is how much water you're supposed to drink a day. It says I'm at the 2 p.m. halfway there, Mark,
baby.
So I gotta get to sucking.
Huh? It says good baby.
You could be that was so thirsty. I'm ready for my pea milk.
Bigger breasts. I'm 15 and have rather small breasts, bracket 34B. And I recently read an ad selling cream to increase their size. Is this safe? It's safe insofar that it doesn't do anything is the answer. But I have a question because, first of all, before I ask the question, I just want to say, why would I have to know? How do bra sizes work?
Oh, that's a whole can of worms.
Is it like, it's like this size and it goes like A, B, C, D, and the D of one size is the next to the A of the next one up?
Sort of.
Why is this so common? Why can't you just have a whole range of numbers?
Because
do you know what the numbers are for?
I just assumed it was some sort of like.
What are you doing with your hands?
Do you actually want to know?
I just assumed it was how many times do you have to do this?
You squeezy with open fingers 34 times.
Squeezes, and then you'll get an appreciation for how big. That's
and then
how,
like, what sound comes out of my mouth? You're 34. Blah, 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 blah.
It takes 34 squeezes to work your way around.
You're 34. Yeah, that's how you get double D. 32.
All right, explain it to me.
So,
well, that was it.
The number is the when you measure right underneath your breast, like right around your rib cage.
Like, yeah, okay.
Not counting your breasts, and then the cup size is when you measure all the way around, including your, you measure your boobs, basically. like mm-hmm. around your back.
Okay, wait. So the 34 is the inches below your rib cage.
It's like basically no, it's around your rib cage. Your, like where, below your where the bottom hits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And then what is the letter?
That's the cup size.
Booby size.
And that's where you measure actually around like at your nipple, basically, is where you're
So one
to
is your high waist size and one is your boob size.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
But if, for example, you wanted to buy...
While I'm talking about boob size, my kid's in here learning about my boobs.
If you wanted to, let's say, buy yourself a new bra online during the pandemic and didn't want to go and get yourself properly measured because breast size fluctuates a lot, you know, you gain weight, lose weight, whatever. Every single online bra retailer has like a slightly different way of how they calculate what their numbers are. So you're right. It is bullshit. It's really, it's needlessly complicated. The best way to do it is just go to a store. But all of our listeners know that. Mm-hmm. And don't ever buy your bras at Victoria's Secret unless you are a C or less, because they will just say everyone's a D and they're not, because that's as high as they go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a 32. That's triple F.
About 2 weeks ago,
Hang on. One more question. Did they start at A?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They start at double A, I think, or triple maybe. Mm-hmm.
And that's small. A, yeah. That's smaller, right?
Easy. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we start at, and then how high does it go? Do they keep on adding cup sizes as people go crazy?
I've seen up to L.
Like, can you have a double Z or something?
I don't know how high they go, but
L?
I don't know about double Z, but I will say that my maternity bra was an H.
Mm-hmm. Would it be cooler if they were like Greek letters?
No, none of it is cool.
34 epsilon.
It's enough to make you want to just make your own with popsicle sticks, honestly.
Why? Just wear sports bras all the time. They just crush them. Right?
That's what I do. That's what I've been doing
just
for the past 2 years.
Just use a big elastic band, girls.
Yeah.
That's my advice to you.
Mm-hmm.
Being a man of culture.
Pam R. from somewhere in Texas at this point, who knows, writes, I lost it when I was too busy making fun of myself. Pam R. from, God.
Well, this is the after show.
Pam R.
Pam R.
The outro. Pam R. from somewhere in Texas.
Writes,
Bell I Cup.
Yeah.
Well, after all this, I really wish we hadn't.
What? What was that?
Spell I cup.
Okay. That, was that what you were originally thinking of? Or is this just.
Yes.
Okay.
It's timeless.
Well, worth the wait? 720 Sassy Go. You let us know.